2 Corinthians chapter 5. Let's all stand. Verse 14. He's been a good help and a blessing. He does a good job back there, and it makes the services better with him not in here. And so all the way around, everybody's blessed. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. For the love of Christ. Did you just hear that song? Now, with that fresh on your heart, let's read 14 through 21. Boy, let God do something in your heart. I hope I never get to a place where I can just read the Bible and it doesn't touch anything in me. I love y'all, but I worry about some of you. I love y'all, but I worry about some of you. If you've got to the place where you can just read these type of verses and just comes off of you like water off a duck's back, really open your heart up and let the Scriptures and the Holy Spirit do something sweet in your life. 2 Corinthians 5:14, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. That he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead be reconciled to God. For he hath made him, speaking of Jesus, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity to speak. And Lord, we ask, Lord, please, you'd open our hearts. And Lord, help this preacher, Lord. I need your help. I want to be able to convey something that I'm not sure I'm capable of doing. I know I can't do it on my own. But I want to convey, Lord, a vision. I want to energize, Lord, the base. I want to get our folks excited about the right things and talking about the right things and involved in the right things. And Lord, I pray that you would help it to be so tonight. Give us a fresh vision, Lord. Stir that heart, Lord, that's become somewhat complacent. Lord, speak to that heart that maybe has become somewhat backslidden, and warm that heart that's become a little cold. And Lord, encourage that heart that maybe has just become a little weary in the work. Lord, whatever Satan has done or we've allowed him to do to perhaps get us from where we ought to be, may this message help us to get back to that place, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I want to teach through this. Can we just teach the Bible for a few minutes? Let's just go start in verse 14. I won't go word and by word, phrase by phrase, but let me give you the truths that are being conveyed here to the church of Corinth. God has used the Apostle Paul to write down these inspired words. He starts in verse 14 reminding us that the love of Christ has a power. It has a power and ought to have a power upon us. The Bible says the love of Christ constraineth us. That word constraint literally means that it gets a hold of us. It controls us. It changes us. It wraps itself around us. It arrests us. Aren't you glad that Jesus loved you? Aren't you glad that he loved you enough to die for your sins? Aren't you glad he was powerful enough to raise again the third day? Aren't you glad that he loved you enough to get the gospel to you? All of that love, the evidence of God's love, the evidence of the love of Christ, well, that ought to do something to us and stir something in us and change us and arrest us and get our attention. Jesus died for us, he saved us. But he did it for a reason. Verse 15, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves. Now, you don't really begin to live until you are saved. You're dead in trespasses and sin. So that's why the Bible says that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves. If you're here tonight, you've never received Christ as your Savior. You are, in the eyes of God, dead in trespasses and sin. Every single person in this room at one time was in that condition. Somebody brought you the gospel. God began to convict your heart, draw him to yourself. And the gospel began to do a work in your life. And finally, you turned from your sin to Jesus Christ, accepted him as Lord and Savior of your life, became born again into the family of God. And God sent his Spirit to come in and give you a new birth and born you again into the family of God. Now, the minute he did that, you become alive through Christ. But he did that for a reason. The Bible says that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Okay, so here's the question. Number one, are you saved? You can just shake your head yes there if you are. And okay, good. Number two, here's the second question. If you are saved, are you living for yourself or are you living for Christ? If you are saved, are you living for yourself or are you living for Christ? Well, preacher, I'm pretty busy. Okay, well, congratulations. You're the only one on the world that's busy. Thank you for sharing that blessing. Are you living for yourself or are you living for Christ? Well, you don't understand. I've got all these things I'm trying to... Are you living for yourself or are you living for Christ? Are you living for yourself or... All right, let's break it down. 168 hours last week. How many hours were spent living for Christ? How many hours were spent in the ministry, involved in the ministry of reconciliation? How many of those hours were spent in any capacity being an ambassador for Jesus Christ? Hello? All right, so if you're saved, you were saved because of the love of Christ. If you're saved, the love of Christ ought to constrain you. That means it ought to capture you, it ought to get a hold of you, it ought to get control of your life. Now that you're saved, you should not henceforth live unto yourself, but unto Jesus Christ. It is not an unreasonable thing for Christ who has saved you to ask for your life. It's not an unreasonable thing. In Romans chapter 12, it is spoken of to be our reasonable service to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. And so this is what this portion of Scripture teaches us. Notice this in verse 17. Since we're saved, we then need to become and ought to become a new creature in Jesus Christ. This love of Christ constrains us. This love of Christ changes the purpose and direction of our life. We're no longer about us. We're about Christ. We're no longer about what we can do for us. We're about what we can do for him. So that changes us. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. And all of a sudden, your life begins to change and transform. All of these things that used to be so important just all of a sudden aren't very important. And the world that used to hold such a fascination suddenly just loses its appeal. And what becomes important in your life is that Christ is your Savior and that Christ has offered salvation to a lost world. And there ought to be something inside of every Christian that wants to participate in the process of getting the gospel to the lost. Let them know. Let them know. Somebody lets you know. Somebody lets you know. Somebody came to you with the gospel. I don't know if there's anything more exciting in the world than to be that one that's used to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to someone who does not know. Someone that didn't know. I mean, Brianna Whipple, she got saved this morning. Sunday school teachers, children's church workers, bus captains, bus drivers, bus mechanics, everybody that had any part at all, prayer warriors, and getting this little girl safely to church this morning. You know what? You were involved in the ministry of reconciliation. Man, that's got to be a good feeling. I mean, all I did is just read the card. I mean, I got to read the card. But on this particular one, I mean, some of you had a part in that. Thank God for you. Logan Gussler from Shelburne, and 6 years old, received Jesus Christ as Savior. Somebody, a lot of somebodies were involved in the ministry of reconciliation. Jonathan Adams, saved in Linton, 6 years old. Somebody's involved in the ministry of reconciliation. What a joy that is to think God used me in some way. to be involved in that ministry of reconciliation. This is the change. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. So we have the ministry of reconciliation appointed unto us. Let me see if I can use you two guys right here. Let me explain to you what this ministry of reconciliation is. Come on up here and stand here. And Jesse, you stand facing this way. And you stand. Boy, you guys are making this hard. All right. You come over here. You face Jesse, okay? All right. Now really use your imagination, all right? In fact, come over here. That way I can get picked up on the mic for those that listen on radio and different things, okay? Now, sorry. This is God. For just illustration's sake, this is the Lord, amen? This is God. This is Adam, okay? When God created Adam, you know what? They had perfect fellowship. They were reconciled. They had fellowship. They could face one another. They could enjoy one another. So the Lord came in the cool of the evening and walked with Adam, walked with Eve. What a blessed time that would have been. Adam and Eve chose to sin, and when they sinned, they turned their back on God. But not only that, folks, you've got to understand, this is a holy God. Not only did they turn their back on God, but God had to turn their back on his back on sin. Now, I want you to understand, there's a ministry of reconciliation. It was begun and accomplished by Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ came down and died on the cross, he did not just die for man so that man could be restored to God. He died so that God could be restored to man. I think you ought to understand this. We have a holy God. And God had a problem with sin. And so Jesus Christ, when he died on the cross, and he was able to take perfect blood, the blood sacrifice for the sin, and come to God with that blood sacrifice, all of a sudden God then could turn back towards man and once again offer to man the fact that he wants to have fellowship, he wants restoration, he wants reconciliation. And so God, because of the blood of Christ, has turned once again to man and is willing to accept man and save man. But you know what? This man, this lost man, does not know that that's available unto him. So those of us that are saved, we have the ministry of reconciliation. Stay where you're at, Bubba. And the ministry of reconciliation means that a saved man who has been saved and now can face God can also face a lost man and can take the word of God and begin to share with him the wonderful plan of salvation and all that God accomplished and all that God did so that he could once again be accepted and forgiven and reconciled unto God. And if a man has that gospel shared with him, and if this man decides that he's going to trust Jesus Christ as his Savior and he turns from his sin unto God through the blood of Jesus Christ and is saved, guess what, folks? It's complete. It's done. The great transaction is done. I am my Lord and he is mine. So that's what salvation is. But there's a whole multitude of people out there that are in this condition right here. Jesus has died, not just for man, but for God. God now has turned, because of the blood of Christ, can save and can forgive and can reconcile the world unto himself. But he said to us that are saved, I've given you the ministry of reconciliation. Now, watch this, watch this. Every saved person in here ought to be involved in the ministry of reconciliation. Every saved person in here ought to in some way be getting the gospel to lost sinners. In some way, getting the gospel to people who do not know. Little children all over this area. Teenagers all over this area are lost. They are on their way to a devil's hell. If they die in their sin, they're going to wake up like the rich man in Luke chapter 16. That is their destination. That is where they're heading. Hey, somebody's got to take the gospel to them. Somebody's got to tell them that Jesus does love them and what he did for them, and that God is got a gift called the gift of eternal life, and he's holding it out for them, and it's there for the taking, and all they've got to do is turn from their sin unto God through trusting Christ as their Savior, and they can be reconciled to God. And you know what? This morning,
three young people, somebody took the gospel to them, three young people turned to God and received the gift of eternal life. Folks, listen to me. Every single Christian needs to be involved in this ministry of reconciliation. You can be seated.
Thank you, gentlemen. I want you to visualize that. I want you to see that. That's what this is talking about. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Isn't it good that God not only gave us a ministry of reconciliation, but he gave us the word of reconciliation? We've got a message that we can take, and that message is contained in the Bible. So, we have a ministry, and we have the Bible that has the message. So, guess what? God says, now here's the assignment. Here it is. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be you reconciled to God. Every Christian needs to be an ambassador for Jesus Christ. Every single Christian is out there in a lost world representing Christ to that lost world, both through life and by lip, sharing the changed life, the change that has occurred in them. That should be visible, and then the gospel that is verbal and being involved in this matter of reconciling the world unto Christ. I love this last verse. I'm going to read it. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That's the reason. That's the way, why we can be reconciled. That's the message that needs to be taken to a lost world. Now, let me say this. And I want to encourage your hearts, and I want to talk to you. This is Missions Emphasis Month, and God very specifically directed me to take this February and not really have you cast your eyes to the uttermost. But for this year, we are really, and by the way, thank you for being faithful in your giving. I'm not saying we're going to quit missions giving. We're not going to quit supporting missionaries. But I really felt like God wanted us for this year and take the theme of this year and focus our vision on our Jerusalem. We need to reach the highways and the hedges and the communities that we drive through, that we walk through, that we live in every single day of our life. Folks, we cannot just give to reach the world. We have to actively be reaching our Jerusalem. I believe that Blessed Hope Baptist Church needs to be and ought to be a soul-winning church. A soul-winning church. We need to be a church where people are saved on a regular basis. I had somebody that visited our church several times, and I went to see them just within the last week or two. And one of the things that they said to me was, we've been in a lot of churches, but they said, we've never been to a church where so much of the Sunday morning preaching is about this matter of getting saved. Amen. About getting saved. I thought to myself, well, I don't know what churches you've been in, but there ought to be a whole lot of preaching about getting saved. That's the primary message of the church. That's the message that someone preached to me, and because of that message, I realized I was lost and needed Jesus Christ, and I made that decision in that church service many years ago. Walked down an aisle, realized that I needed to be saved. Had someone take the Bible, explain the plan of salvation to me, explain the gospel. Then, with a repentant heart, I called upon Christ, asked him to save me. Listen, folks. This church, Blessed Hope Baptist Church, needs to be a soul-winning church. Now, that means we have to have a vision for soul-winning. We have to keep, that has to be the theme that's kept in front of us. Let me say, folks, that vision must come from the pulpit. It must come from your pastor. I like it when other people reinforce that, but if this podium, if this pulpit stops preaching on soul-winning and stops presenting to our church that the main reason, the main purpose of the church is to win souls, then pretty soon that whole vision will die out. I want to stand here tonight and once again ring that bell for a little while. The vision must be for every church member to become an effective witness for Jesus Christ. Every church member to in some way be involved in the ministry of reconciliation. You may have not ever been involved in that. This is all new to you. Well, you can take beginner steps to get involved in that. Some of you are involved in that. You have been for years, and God's using you right now to bring people to Jesus Christ and to bring them to church so that they can hear the gospel of Christ. There's some of you that have been involved in it in the past, but you're not involved in it anymore. Let me say this. The message is the same for all three groups, and that's this. Let's all be involved. Let's all get back to the main thing, which is getting the gospel to the lost. Well, I hope you haven't gotten tired of this kind of preaching.
I hope you haven't got to the point where you just haven't already slipped into neutral and say, oh, here we go, another sermon on trying to get us out winning souls and being a witness. I'll set through this one like I had the last 47 and just make it one more week through. Man, wouldn't it be great if tonight God just really grabbed and gripped your heart, got a hold of you and shook you all the way down to your core being and said, you know what, enough of this stuff of sitting on the sideline, enough of this stuff of not being involved in any aspect in the church as far as getting the gospel to lost people. And I want to be a part of that. I want to find out a way I can be a part of that. Soul winning must be the central theme, the mission and mission of the church. The winning of souls is the very heartbeat of God. The very heartbeat of God. This is what it's all about. Soul winning must be taught. Soul winners must be trained. I think it is possible, no matter what your personality type, I think it's possible for you to be an effective witness for Jesus Christ. There's something that you can learn. Even if you're already involved in it, there's always more that you can learn through teaching and training. It's always good to go soul winning sometimes with different people. Read a new book on it. Maybe try a new approach. You know what? Just something. There's always something you can learn about soul winning to make you a little bit better. Soul winning ministries. Soul winning ministers to sinner and saints alike. You know what? Soul winning, of course, takes the gospel to sinners and therefore ministers to sinners, ministers to lost people. But there's something about being involved in soul winning that ministers to the heart of a saint. Something exciting about it. Something just to be a part of that. Just to have a little part of it. Be able to say, you know what? God used me in some way to help bring that person to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. I believe this, I've already said it, but the pulpit must sound out often the importance of reaching the lost. I believe that the pulpit, you show me the church and its priorities, and I'll show you probably that those priorities have been defined from the pulpit of that church. The pulpit must sound out the urgency of reaching the lost. Folks, listen to me. This isn't something we need to eventually get into. This is something we're already behind in. Let's get after it. Let's go do it. Some of you already have been trained. You know what? The honest truth is, if I handed you a Bible, you could, even though if you haven't been involved in it in a long time, you could open it up to Romans and you could systematically go through the Romans road and you could go through the plan of salvation. The only problem is it's been years, maybe months, since you've done it. And God has sent me as your pastor to the pulpit to say, it's time to get busy. It's time to get out there and do something. There's people that need the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's people that you can reach. You see, soul winning is not just a scheduled weekly event. It's wonderful when it becomes a consistent lifestyle. I think that you ought to be involved in some type of a weekly soul winning effort that's organized through the church. If at all possible, you ought to be involved in that. But the difference between just going soul winning and being a soul winner is at some point it infects your life. It's not just a matter of I'm going to show up and between, you know, 9:30 and 12 on Saturday, I'm going to go sowing the rest of the week. I'm going to ignore everyone that walks by me. It becomes a way of life. God gives you a heart and a compassion for souls. But let me say this. I believe it is the church's responsibility to provide opportunity, systematic, organized soul winning programs so that new people can get involved and go with those that are experienced. And there's a trainee a mentality taught in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. And I believe that's the best way to learn is just to go, just to go. You can take courses, you can read books, but at some point you have to go. Go with somebody that knows how to go soul winning. Go with them, listen to them, then begin yourself. Start being a witness for Jesus Christ. Start with your testimony. You know what? Even if you don't know all of the verses to turn to, you know what? At work, in your family, at different places, you can just give your testimony of how you came to Jesus Christ. Tell the story of how you were saved. They're going to ask you questions. Why don't you do this? Or why don't you go here? Why did you stop doing this? You know what, folks? Those ought to be opportunities. Those are wide open doors for you to give your testimony of why you don't do that. Well, don't throw away that opportunity by saying, well, our church doesn't believe in it. What a silly answer. What a cowardly answer. A cowardly answer. Why don't you tell them it's because you're a new creature in Jesus Christ? I'm glad you asked that question. There's reasons why I can no longer have peace to do things I used to do when I was lost. You know what? Something happened to me. Let me tell you about it. I know that I've been acting a little curious. I know that you've watched the changes in my life. But listen, it's not decisions that I've just made. It's a transformation that took place in me. Let me tell you what happened to me. And then share your testimony. Tell how you were saved. Don't be afraid to stand up. Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Systematic organized soul winning programs, a good way to get involved in that. Effective soul winning program, I think, has to be supported by an efficient discipleship program. Following up on the souls we're allowed to win is as much a part of the Great Commission as preaching the gospel. Listen, I'll tell you this. I'm going to say it out loud. We need to say it from time to time. Your pastor's not concerned about grand numbers. I'm concerned about sowing of seed, watering that seed, and seeing God give an increase. I'm also not just concerned about producing fruit, but I'd like to see fruit that remains. And I think that's the plan for God, that God's given us in the Bible. Soul winning church. I want to talk to you a little bit about our efforts and our vision that we are kicking off in 2010. We've spent January and February a lot of training. We've done some reorganization in the bus ministry. And we have already, beginning the first Sunday in February, we've redone the bus routes. We're running them a little bit differently. We've opened up new areas, some new areas that we were not reaching before. We are combining some things. We're running things a little bit differently, but it's, when you shake it all down, just the same old bus ministry that we've had since 1973. And we want to involve you this year. In 2010, we want to involve you in this vision of us achieving a double portion. Now, I'll say it without apology, and I apologize to nobody for this. Our goal is to see the size of our bus ministry doubled in 2010. You say, why, preacher? Well, because of little kids like these three kids right here. That's why. I don't know what you think it's about, but this is what it's about. I don't know what you think drives your pastor, but this is what it's all about. It's about children and young people and families and married couples out there, and they're lost and they're on the way to a devil's hell. And if the rapture happens tomorrow, they're going through 7 years of tribulation. Most of them will never make it out of that tribulation period. They'll be killed at some point and wake up in a devil's hell. The ones that do will be destroyed at the end. Are you listening to it? Folks, this isn't some fairy tale. This isn't some fantasy. This is the Word of God. This is real. This is what's going to happen. Luke chapter number 16 is not a parable. It's about a real man who's still there and still crying and still begging for a drop of water. Now, folks, those kind of things, they keep me up at night. Those kind of things cause me to weep during my prayer times. Those kind of things cause me to want to shout and rejoice and run around the auditorium when three little children come up here and say, I got saved. Amen. I thank God for it. I thank God that I'm the Blessed Old Baptist Church has a history of being a soul-winning church. Yes, folks, let me say this. We can't live on our history. A new generation has to come to the forefront. A new group of young people and young adults have to say, you know what? I'll let them know. I'll tell them that Jesus loves them. So I'll be involved in the ministry of reconciliation. Now, we want to double the size of our bus ministry. Also, we're wanting to double the size of our young adult class. And it's not that there aren't other areas that ought to be doubled. I think if we double those two, you're going to find out most areas increase or double in like manner. But those are the areas we specifically targeted. They go hand in hand. I keep asking our young adult class, who's putting these children on the bus? Who's putting these children on the bus? I'll tell you who's putting these children on the bus. Young adults are putting these children on the bus. I don't want a bus ministry that just reaches children, although I'll tell you what, I'll take children. I don't understand this thing about, well, did you have a good Sunday? Yeah, we had three saved, but, two of them were children. As if we've got to qualify that in some way, that's not as important as if they were adults. No, children can be saved. You're listening to someone preach tonight who was saved as a five-year-old boy. So when I read these ages, here's a boy, Jonathan, saved at six. He was a year older than I was. Logan, saved at six. He was a year older than I was. Brianna, saved at seven. You know what? Logan, Jonathan, who knows? They may grow up and be preachers. Who knows what will happen to them? But I know this, if they truly receive Christ as their Savior, if the rapture happens, they're going as sure as I'm going.
For some horrible or tragic reason, their life is cut short this week. I know that I can go to their parents, look them dead in the eyeball, and say, "Hey, your son's in heaven. Got saved last week." Well, that's exciting. I'm getting goosebumps right now. I don't want to ever get to the point where it doesn't move me. Now, folks, listen to me. What we're going to do is we want to reorganize things a little bit. And we're going to do this for 2010. After 2010, we may change things up again and try something different. But for 2010, this is what we want to do. Now, I want to enlist every single member of Blessed Hope Baptist Church in helping us achieve our goal of a double portion. And our goal of doubling the size of our bus ministry, our goal of doubling the size of our young adult class. And I believe this, everybody in here can be involved. Every single person can be involved. Yes, sir. I told our bus captains when I met with them today, I said, I wish I could, and I explained to them what we were going to do, and I'll explain it to you in a few minutes here. I said, I wish I could stand up and guarantee our bus people 100% participation. I said, but more times than not, that doesn't happen. And I, in some ways, I'm sorry I left that door open. I just think it'd be good for God one time just to look down at a church and say, look at that. Everybody's doing it. Look at that. Hey, angels, come here. Hey, seraphims, fly over here. Let me show you something I'm not sure has happened since the book of Acts. A little church in Jacksonville where 100% of the people got involved. 100% of the people said, maybe not 100% can all do the same thing, but 100% are involved as they can be involved. I mean, look at that. The pastor showed up to the pulpit. He gave a vision. He gave a plan. And everybody said, what can I do? And how can I participate? And what level can I participate? And everybody's doing something to see something happen for the Lord. I preached in chapel out this Friday for Brother Treber, where Tabitha goes to college. And by the way, she said to tell everybody hi. And Mom and Dad flew out. Me and Cheryl flew out to see her Thursday. Spent Thursday evening, Friday, Saturday morning, flew back. I was given a hard time in my young adult class about being gone during the painting of the auditorium. I was just shocked at that kind of a response. And some of them even accused me of planning the trip to coincide with being gone for the painting of the auditorium. And I said, absolutely. And then Brother Reiser was supposed to be in control, and he got sick Friday. At least he says he was sick on Friday. And so, folks, if everything rises and falls on leadership, you're just doomed around here is all I can say. But God opened the door for us to be able to do that. And I preached about Elisha. And you know, I preach a message here. If you look it up somewhere in the archives, there's a sermon entitled "Farm Boys Make Good Preachers." And talked about Elisha being trained for the ministry. He wasn't trained in the school of the prophets. He wasn't trained, you know, in a king's palace or in some warrior's guild. He was just trained on a farm. But one of the things we find about Elisha when Elijah shows up is he's got 12 yoke of oxen. Now you think about that, folks. He's got 12 yoke of oxen pulling a plow. And I talked about how if you're going to be a leader, and if you're going to be a prophet, if you're going to be a preacher, one of the things you have to learn is the importance and the value of teamwork. You know what? Elisha could have walked out there in that field and taken that plow and set it out in the middle of the field and stood there behind it and yelled all day long, but he wouldn't have turned any ground. You know what Elisha learned as he was plowing? He learned that an amazing amount of work can be done when you take the strengths of a combined group and everybody's pulling in the same direction and everybody's working for the same goal. You know what? 40 acres of bottom land can be turned in a timely fashion. You get all of that energy going in the same direction. Hey, listen to me, church. Isn't it time to get in the yoke? Isn't it time to get in the yoke and say, you know what? Let's help plow the field. Let's get the gospel out. Let's do something for the Lord Jesus Christ. 100% participation. That'd be wonderful. Now, we need your help, folks, if we're going to double the size of our bus ministry and our young adult class and see that the church increased in 2010. We've, like I said, taken January, February. We've done a lot of training, reorganizing. We're ready to go. We're all working towards and looking towards the first weekend in March. I've been working with our bus workers, getting them ready,
so that when I turn you all loose, they'll be organized and everything will go smoothly. I know everybody's situation's a little different. I know everybody's schedule's a little different. There's a number of different ways that you can help. Let me just kind of present this to you. And by the way, everything that I'm going to go over with you, we're going to pass out a piece of paper at the end of the service, and you'll be able to have the information in front of you. But I want you to think about this. Now, preacher, what can we do? What's going on? All right. We have 5 bus routes now, and every one of those routes, thank God, because of your sacrifice and generosity and work, every one of those bus routes have a bus on it now. Our actual white van is just sitting right now, waiting to be shoved into use where it's most needed. It's amazing. We've got a little bit of a backup vehicle there. We have the Linton, Route 101. It's Worthington, Swiss City, Lyons, and Worthington. We have a Linton route. Brother John Reiser, of course, there. Been there for years. That route hasn't changed. A Jasonville route now is Hymera and Colmont and Jasonville. We've got our Sullivan route. Starts at Sullivan and goes Sullivan-Duggar, Route 404, Sullivan and Duggar, and then Cass, can't miss Cass, the suburb, the large suburb of Cass, coming on in and getting Vicksburg and Midland. We've got the route starting over here in Shelburne that goes from Shelburne to Farmersburg. By the way, we're already getting riders out of Farmersburg. Brother Tom came to me at the end of this morning and said, Brother Jerry, I think we'll have 2 new families coming out of Lewis. It's going to come through Lewis, going through the back roads, never had that opportunity, didn't, at least not for a while. And so that's what we have going on here. Now, preacher, what are we going to do? Starting Saturday, the first Saturday in March, we're going to, instead of having one place you can come on Saturday for visitation, we're going to have 6 different locations that you can head to for visitation. How can I help achieve the double portion vision? Number one, you can join us on Saturday for visitation and soul winning. Say, preacher, where do I go? Well, I'm going to give you a piece of paper that has assigned you to a bus route. You mean you assigned me to a bus route? Yes, I did. I did. I just went ahead and put your name right there. And what's great about this is you are assigned to the area in which you already live. And so we're going to have 6 different locations, but they'll be of course, the 5 routes, and I'll explain why we have 6 in just a second. But you can help us by showing up on Saturdays for visitation and soul winning in one of these 6 locations. Now, let me go ahead and list those for you. We are going to have the group that now is visiting. Brother Jeff Reiser is leading that up. That's covering Worthington and Swiss City and Lyons every Saturday morning at 10 o'clock. By the way, all these are on this piece of paper you'll receive, so you don't have to worry about trying to remember all of this. They're going to meet in Linton at the Burger King. They're in Linton at 10 o'clock on Saturday mornings. And so if you wanted to help visit in the Worthington, Swiss City, Lyons area, you can meet there. Also, that's at 10 o'clock. Also, that route has now been combined with the Worthington route, so if you want to meet in Worthington, you can meet Brother Greg Burcham at 11 o'clock. It's because he sleeps in till 10 o'clock on Saturdays. No, he'll actually be meeting with Brother Jeff at 10 o'clock in Linton at the Burger King, and then he'll drive on over, start visiting, stop at 11 in Worthington. Now, what advantage is this? If you already live over that direction, instead of coming over to the church and meeting here and then maybe going on a visit clear to Sullivan and then coming back here and then driving back home, you can drive right over to Worthington at 11 o'clock, meet there in the Value Mart parking lot, and have the bus captain there ready to give you specific visits to make, bus kids' parents, maybe a new section that needs to be knocked, whatever you're able to do, whatever you feel comfortable doing. If you want to show up there and say, hey, I can't do this by myself, I'd like to go with somebody, they'll take you soul winning. And you can be a help and a blessing there and just visit for an hour and 15 minutes, something along those lines, and then head on home. And we'll have another meeting place in Linton at the Taco Bell. This is the Linton bus route. This is at 10:30. And so, again, all of these times, I know there's different times, but they'll be there. Jasonville bus route, we'll meet here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church right here
at 10 o'clock on, that's Route 303, the Sullivan Route at Burger King in Sullivan at 10 o'clock on Saturdays, Route 404, Farmersburg, Route 505, Dairy Queen. Did you notice a pattern here? Burger King, Taco Bell, Burger King, Dairy Queen. I think we understand Baptist, amen? But, amen, you know, you gotta fuel the body before you go out, amen? You got to do that, you know? So it's in the book somewhere. And you can join us on Saturday for visitation and soul winning, starting on Saturdays. Now, wherever you live, go to the closest place. I've assigned you according to where you live so that you can go to that place if you can help us on this Saturday visitation and soul winning. And I want you to get involved. Let me say that the best way to get this thing done is to get folks that can, once again, showing up on Saturday on a regular basis and getting it done. Now let me help you with something. Some of you out there, absolutely, I understand, because of health reasons or work schedule, you can't do this, and your preacher understands this, and that's not a problem with me whatsoever. Some of you that can, that has just stubbornly refused to be involved, I am praying for you. I mean, your preacher has your name, and I am calling your name, and I'm pointing to that name and say, God, please make them a laborer in the harvest. I will pray that today. I will pray it tomorrow. I will pray it every single day of 2010. And I'm going to pray that God gets your attention any way he has to get your attention, shakes you up any way he has to shake you up, brings you to the point of repentance for your selfishness. Are you listening to me? It's time that veteran Christians at Blessed Hope Baptist Church stop being stubborn in this matter of just refusing to be involved when you could be involved in soul winning. I'm not picking on you new converts. I'm not picking on you new families. Hey, you're just figuring out what's going on around here. Your preacher's patient. He loves you. But listen to me, folks. It's time that we stopped making excuses of why we're the exception to the rule. We don't have to be involved in the ministry of reconciliation. We don't have the word of reconciliation. That is not true. You have been assigned that ministry. You have the word. You will stand before God and answer for whether or not you participated in this ministry of reconciliation. Boy, we need a revival at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. There shouldn't be in a church like this. Veteran Christians, the history, 36 years of independent old-time religion, independent fundamental baptism, or Baptist preaching and teaching, there's no way in the world there ought to be about 20% of the congregation only out knocking doors in any given week. There should be, that should not, that's a shame to us. I said it's a shame to us. And I want you to know that. I'm praying for you. I mean that. I'm praying for you. I love you, but I'm praying for you. Because something's going to happen in your heart. Somewhere along the line, you've allowed Satan to convince you of some lies. And you've bought into them. You've bought into them. And they're lies. And the problem is, it's costing somebody eternity. It's costing someone eternity. And so, there's many of you that should and can show up. And did you notice your preacher didn't say, show up at 10 and you know, we'll keep you for 5 hours? Did you notice your preacher understands that there's the yard needs mowed and there's things? I understand all of those things. But folks, all of us can give something. All of us can do something when it comes to this matter of trying to make a difference for the cause of Christ. So number one, you can join us on Saturday for visitation and soul winning. And number two, you can, if that's impossible for you to do, you can participate in reaching the parents of our bus kids by visiting their parents. Now, if you'll mark the paper that we're going to give you, say, preacher, you know what? I understand what you said, and I'm for it, but you understand my work schedule, or it's just not going to work out for me to be there on Saturdays. But, preacher, if I have addresses, if I'm given an address or two a week, I will, on some other time, go out and visit some of these families. Now, by the way, look right up here. You know what? That's good if you can do this. Because, you know what? There may be parents that we never catch on a Saturday morning because of their work schedule, but if you do some visiting on a Tuesday evening, you might catch them where we might never catch them. And so it's not a bad thing that there's different times that we could go to. But let me say this, and I want you to listen to me. You need to be honest about this. The reason I'm hesitant about number two, I think it's good, I think it makes sense, and I think it can work. But if you're not careful, if there is not some accountability built into your life,
You'll come and say, "Preacher, I'll tell you what, just give me some addresses and I'll go when I'm able." You know, whenever I've used the plan to go when I'm able, it's funny how I'm just never seem to be able. I'll go when I got some free time. I've been looking for that. I haven't found much free time in a long time. At some point, there has to be a commitment made. I mean, there has to be something that's sacred and set aside. Sanctified, set aside to God. And say, you know what, at this time during the week, this is what our family does. And we hold ourselves in account. Sometimes it's good to be held accountable by having a soul winning partner, maybe another family that you meet with. Maybe it doesn't work for you on Saturday and it doesn't work for them, but you could go together. There has to be some accountability built in, because we've watched this thing, folks. We've tried this in the past. And folks have good intentions, but you know what, boy, so easy not to be involved the level we ought to be if we don't have some place to meet. This is why the organized soul winning opportunities, that ought to be your first choice. If you can do it, that ought to be your number one first choice. Because you know what, there's a camaraderie that's built. There's companionship, there's ministry opportunities there. There's a unity that it builds in the church body. Don't always try to figure out a way how you can be the Lone Ranger and do something outside of the organized plan, unless you just can't do it any other way, and then we certainly can use you. So if you check that, I cannot visit on Saturdays, but we'll visit bus parents during the week. We'll funnel to you address and directions of people in your area that are already sending their children to the church house. And if you can go and you can be an ambassador for Christ. Now, listen to me. Every single person that we want you to involve in this, but please be a good ambassador for Jesus Christ and be a good ambassador for Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And I'm going to say this. If you're not a good ambassador here at the church, I don't know how you're going to be a good ambassador when you go to the door. Some of you need to get a revival going somehow. My dad went, and I'm going to share some stories with you. These stories are the exception, and they're the ridiculous exception. My dad was over during our Good Neighbor Sunday. He was one of the ones that committed to go and invite 10 of his neighbors. And so he said he took down a side road. You mind if I share the story, Dad? He took off down a side road and knocked on a door, and a guy came to the door. I could mention his name, and some of you in here would know him. But he was a teenager when I was a teenager. Rode the same school bus I rode to school. And I hate telling this story because I don't want this type of story to circulate and people say that's what Blessed Hope Baptist Church is, but I need to illustrate something here. As soon as Dad shared the track with him, tried to get him to come, he said, "What church is this?" "Blessed Hope Baptist Church." He said, "Is that the one?" And he told where it was. "Yeah." He said, handed it back, said, "I'd never go to that church." He said, "Well, why not? You mind if I ask why?" He said, "When I was a teenager, I went there one time." He said, "At that time in my life, I had blonde hair and it was about down to here." He said, "I went and sat in the church service and listened to the service. And on my way out, several people shook my hand. Most people were kind to me. But one man came up and just took a piece of paper and kind of shoved it in my hand. And he said, I didn't think much about it. And I walked out, got in my vehicle and opened it up. And it said, 'If you're going to come back to church here, you ought to think about getting a haircut.'" By the way, my dad, I said, "Man, how did you handle that?" He said, I told him, I said, "Would you give me just a minute of your time?" He said, "I'd like to apologize." He said, "Well, it wasn't you." He said, "No, it wasn't me, but I was the pastor of the church at that time." And he said, "I would never condone something like that. That is not the normal thing that would happen at our church. I don't know who that person was, but I'm ashamed of them." Folks, do you understand we're dealing with lost people? Are you awake? Are you getting this? By the way, that was a weird anomaly. If that happened all the time, trust me, we'd note about it. But are you getting this? I think sometimes we just need a revival of good sense. And again, I don't want to embarrass anybody specifically, but we had a new family recently start coming to our church, and had a lady come to the church. She
one of the lady, the couple that started coming, started befriending several other young adult ladies, and some one of you women, and she doesn't remember who, I wish she did, so she could tell me, so I could talk to you personally, went up to this young lady and said, "You need to be careful, glad you're coming, but you need to be careful who you're hanging around this church," and begin to tell some of the sins that was in the past of one of the girls that had actually befriended her and was making her feel comfortable here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. By the way, that happened in the last 3 months. Well, I wish I knew who you were. You think I'm kidding, but I'd probably church you. Are you saved? You know, when some of us are killing ourselves trying to get new people in, and you and a member of the church would come and approach somebody with that level of ignorance and wickedness, and I say, I'm mad, and I'm going to leave. Bye. I don't know who you are. If I really knew who you are, I'd tell you. It's a blessing I don't know who you are. That's not Blessed Hope Baptist Church. That is not Blessed Hope Baptist. That is not going to become Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Amen. I knew I could stand up here and say this, and you know what? 99.9 of the members are up here, they're ready to hang you too. And if we're not, we need to disband. Are you getting this? What I'm saying is, folks, you need to go out from this place and be a good ambassador for your church and for your Savior. I don't want to hand you the addresses of people we're trying to reach if you're going to go by there and tell them what's wrong with Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Because I think I know what's wrong with Blessed Hope Baptist Church. People that think they've been given the ministry of telling people what's wrong with Blessed Hope Baptist Church. That's what's wrong with it. You weren't given that ministry. You're given the ministry of reconciliation. Now I'm sitting here and saying this because, yes, I want to energize 100% of the people. But, folks, if you're that backslidden, lost, carnal, whatever, don't go out and represent this church with that type of an attitude. Because you'll keep people from coming in. And, again, I've told you two stories that span the course of decades. And there are thousands and hundreds of thousands of stories and illustrations where people of our church have done just the opposite, got out of their way to befriend people, love people, accept people, take them from where they're at. And that is this church. But I wanted to say that. I wanted to say that. Man, as your pastor, I've got to stand up here and say, well, I don't know where that's coming from or who you are, but you're killing us. You're killing us. Mercy sakes, you're killing us. Okay? And so, be an ambassador. Man alive, work to grow the church. Work to be excited about the church. Work to welcome people into the church. And so you can participate on Saturday for visitation. And so on. You can participate in the reaching of parents of our bus children by visiting their parents. And let me give you this. Preacher, because of my physical limitations and whatnot, or maybe I'm just a new Christian and it's hard for me to do the visitation thing yet, let me say this, and this could be a blessing. Number three, you can participate by sending cards or letters to first-time visitors and their families. Now, one of the things that we're doing, we're revamping the record-keeping of our bus ministry and our visitation program. But let me say this. This is exciting. By Wednesday every week, if you would like, I can send you addresses of visitors, bus kids that have visited, new first-time visitors in the church that's visited. I can send those to you. Now, if you live in the Linton area, I'll probably send you the ones of the people in the Linton area. I'm going to keep everybody in their team. And so it's not like you're going to get a bunch of these every week where you got to go buy a bunch of envelopes and a bunch of stamps, but maybe one or two or three notes or cards or letters a week where just real quickly you could write somebody a note and say, hey, you visited here last week, or you sent your son Johnny to visit our church last week, and I wanted to let you know that I attend the church and I was so thrilled that you sent your children here. And if there's anything I can do to be a blessing to you, just that personal touch,
just a kind note. And I know that some of you that maybe cannot go out and physically do what you used to be able to do, you could be a big help to us. But again, folks, listen to me. If you're going to send letters and notes to first-time visitors, then use sense. Use sense. Be careful what you write. And I know that this ought to be a no-brainer, but I thought all of the stuff that those two things that happened, I thought those were no-brainers. So I'm going to be very specific. Be an ambassador for your church. Be an ambassador for Jesus Christ. You can participate by sending cards or letters to first-time visitors and their family. Now, let us know what you can do. We're going to pass out here at the end of the service after our invitation. We're going to pass out some of the bus routes so that you can see where they're at and where they're reaching. We're going to then go ahead and give you an opportunity to see on those bus route sheets who the captains are, who the drivers are, who the workers are, and then the families that have been assigned to those areas, and whatever capacity that you could help in. And let me say this, I want to apologize. I put the list together. I did it with the information I had, as much of an updated list of in our directory. I'm human. I may have jumped over somebody's name. If you look on this list and you and your family's name's not on here, please don't get offended. I did not sit in my office and say, who can I make mad? I don't like that family. I'm not going to put them anywhere. I'm just a human being, all right? And so I switched families around several times. I tried to even things out. I could have deleted somebody and forgot to put them somewhere else. So just be patient with me, all right? And call me up. Don't sit at home all mad all week because Pastor Jerry left you out. Pick the phone up. Call the office. See me at the back. Matter of fact, see my wife. And that way she'll write it down, actually, and make sure we get you assigned somewhere. But I want you to see what's going on. What a great opportunity for us. Oh, what an exciting thing. Say, preacher, what are you going to do on Saturdays? You've got the different bus captains running these five areas. Well, I'm going to stay home and watch basketball. That's what I'm going to do. Same plan I used with the painting of the church. You know, I'm basically working this. Now, I'm very excited about this. What we're going to do, and I've got me and Brother Reiser doing this, and I'm going to rotate every week to a different visitation spot. Every sixth week, I'll be at each of the spots. I want to be at every one of them in rotation. And then I will go to that captain when I show up there and say, what parent do you want me to go see, or what section do you want to visit it, or do you want me to go with you to see a teenager that's maybe strong? Brother Reiser is going to rotate, and as he rotates different place than I am every week, he's going to show up there and say, who's the teenagers, and who do you need help with? Who's a teenage brother that doesn't come, but you've got one of, who can I go see? And we're going to be busy about that. I haven't talked to Dad about this, but Dad, I might ask you to rotate with us. I told our bus captains, I said, if once every 6 weeks I could get Pastor Ross just to show up and go soul winning with you and go visiting with you, I said, just whoever is in your route that is the meanest, dirtiest, rottenest lost sinner, send Pastor Ross after him. I am not kidding. Bus captain goes there, you know, he pulls a gun and starts shooting at you. I go there, he throws rocks. Pastor Ross walks on the property, he falls down trembling. What must I do to be saved? That's not much of an exaggeration. So I'm just going to send him to the hard cases, man. I mean, you know, my dad doesn't use so many New Testament. He uses something like this, you know, he walks through the door. The guy opens the door. I've come to get you saved. Okay. You know, I mean, that's just about what it is. So, amen. I told somebody the other day, I said, I've never met a person in my life that was better and is better at winning men to Christ than my father. And so give him the tough old lost guys, man. He likes them. And see, this is what we're going to do. And I want you to be involved. Well, preacher, I can't go out. Can you write a letter? Can you send a note? Can you be an encouragement? I can't go on Saturday. Would you go and build a relationship with some bus parents? I mean, you and your wife, go by several times. Get to know them. Invite them out to eat. Invite them over to your house. Get them in our young adult class. Would you build a relationship with somebody? Would you just work with somebody? I think it's exciting what the Lord has for us.
in the weeks and months ahead. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the vision that you've given this preacher for this church. And I ask, Lord, that you'd help us. Please, all get involved. Lord, I'm praying about that. You know I am. I'm praying individually for people that have the ability, the capacity, the skill set, the gifts that just haven't been involved in getting people in our church and haven't been involved in visitation. Lord, I pray that you'd do something in their hearts, God. I pray that we wouldn't be allowed, Lord, by the Holy Spirit of God, we wouldn't be allowed to just walk out of this place and shrug this off and say, well, that's for everybody else. I'm too busy. I pray, God, that you'd let something supernatural happen in our heart. Lord, there'd be real repentance in our life towards this attitude, this destructive, demonic attitude that has somehow filtered into our thinking. Lord, I don't want to close the service down without, again, starting where we stopped, and that's by mentioning, Lord, to you that you would be busy even now. I know we preach to Christians tonight, but Lord, folks need to be saved. There may be someone here without Christ as their Savior. And Lord, I hope that they heard the heartbeat of this church. I hope that they understand that the reason this church exists is to get the gospel to lost people. Lord, well, there's not a person in here that one time wasn't lost. We needed to be saved. We heard the gospel. We were saved because somebody cared, somebody shared. And because Jesus Christ loved us. Because of the wooing of God in our lives. Bringing us to that point that we would be saved. Is there someone here without Christ as their Savior? I pray that they'd be saved today. Tonight, before it's everlasting too late. Lord, may we as Christians, God, make decisions tonight that will result in the salvation of hundreds of people, Lord, during the course of this next year. Lord, may we see a year of harvest as we've not seen, Lord, in some time. May there be a stirring and a spirit of revival in the hearts of God's people. Please, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.